There are some things that you just don't see every day. And one of those things you might have seen this past week, if you watch ESPN at all, you might have seen this sweet elderly lady, 103 years old. This in front of you is, let's see, what is her name? I don't even know if I wrote her name down or not. But 103 years old, that's the important part. 103 years old, I believe her name is Harriet. 103 years old, threw out the first pitch at the Texas Rangers baseball game. That in and of itself, having a 103-year-old young lady throw out the pitch, crazy enough as it is, to add an even more crazier spin to it, she actually died earlier in the week. She was legally dead for a few minutes before the nurse resuscitated her. And after 103 years, thankfully, she had gained a great sense of humor, and she said, I just wasn't ready to die because I had to throw out that first pitch. So, pretty crazy story, but it's just incredible for a lady to be able to, at 103 years old, to begin with, to be able to get out to the baseball field, and then to actually be able to throw the first pitch. Obviously, she didn't throw the full feet from the pitching mound to the home plate, but she still got it done. And I think she barely clipped the outside edge of the plate, too, so that was a strike as well. Really incredible story. Really cool to see something like that. But, you know, she's not the only person who is of advanced age to ever do anything really incredible. Can I tell you about another lady named Tamay Watanabe? This lady, at 73 years old, climbed Mount Everest. Yeah, that's incredible. Let me tell you about another individual. This man, his name is Yuichiro Miura. He climbed Mount Everest as well. He did it at age 70, though. And age 75. And at age 80. Wow. I am 25, and I could never make it to the top of Mount Everest. But this man did the incredible climbing of Mount Everest not just once, but three times after the age of 70. But possibly maybe even more impressive than any of that is Miss Harriet Thompson. This lady is a two-time cancer survivor. She battled and defeated cancer twice and runs marathons. She ran the San Diego Marathon, which is, if you don't know, 26.2 miles. And she ran that in 7 hours, 24 minutes, and 37 seconds. That is insane. I think it's like a 16-minute mile for, I don't know what I say she was, 72? No, excuse me, 92. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, she's 92 years old. 92 years old running marathons. Again, that's just insane. That is incredible. And I think that these individuals are especially the type of people who really put a lot of stock into the phrase that age really is just a number. Your age is nothing more than the number of candles on your birthday cake. But speaking of marathons and running, you know, the Bible actually says something about running, about a race. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and beginning in verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 24, Paul talks about this life and equates it to a race that we run in this life. I want us to read that together, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run then in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. One of the things about this race, about any race, and about this race of life is that the longer you run the race, the farther you get into the race, the more difficult it gets. The more tired you are, you start to get the muscle cramps and just breathing is strenuous and it hurts. But that's one thing we deal with in the race. But it's also kind of something that we deal with in life. The longer we're in this life, the more difficulties that we face. But Paul says we need to keep going. We need to keep going, keep running this race, because we need to run this race in such a way that we may win. But Paul also describes this race in kind of a different way. He describes Christians in a different way in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then also Ephesians chapter 6. Here in these chapters, he equates Christians and this Christian life to soldiers who are fighting in a battle. And the same thing is true for a battle. As the longer the battle goes on, the more tired soldiers get. The longer the battle goes on, the more dangers that might come up against a soldier. But the admonition there is for them to fight and for them to lean upon the Lord for His strength, to lean upon His might, so that they may overcome the difficulties of the battle of this life, especially the longer that it progresses. So recognizing in the struggles that come over the course of a race, that come over the course of the battle, that come over the course of the Christian life, recognizing those things and then continuing our series of glorifying God that we've been going through this year, 2015, I want us to consider this morning, I want us to consider God's senior soldiers. Those Christians who have been in this battle for a long time. Those Christians who have been running this race for many, many years. You know, we are blessed here at Pleasant Plains to have a tremendous variety of ages and experience among those who attend here. We have many very young children. We have some children who are older. We have some of us still who are a little wet behind the ears with some youth, but still a little bit there. I still have to dry off every once in a while, right? And then we have some of those who may be younger adults who are maturing into parents. And then we kind of have the target age we're talking about this morning, anybody about 36 and up. That's a congregational inside joke for our guest. I'm just kidding. Remember, age is just a number. But we have families with younger kids, families with older kids. Then we have some who are empty nesters. We have the grandparents. We have some great grandparents. We have a wide variety of ages here. Wide variety of experiences. And we're extremely blessed by God to have that. Yes, we do have many senior soldiers here. But we also have a lot of people who, Lord willing, will grow and mature into those senior soldiers. So the lesson this morning isn't just for those 36 and up. Wink, wink. I'm speaking directly really to the senior soldiers this morning, but the lessons and that we're going to talk about today, they apply to all of us. Because again, Lord willing, we hope that we will all reach that place where we can be a senior soldier for the Lord. So I hope that you will have your Bibles. If you don't already have them out, I hope that you will open them up and prepare that as we look through the Scriptures this morning and consider some lessons that we need to be reminded of considering God's senior soldiers. They are vitally important, vitally, vitally important to the strength and the health of the Lord's church. And we want to discuss them this morning. And we want to talk about how senior soldiers, how they can glorify God in the latter stages of their life as they continue to fight on for the Lord. As I mentioned, we have many guests here this morning. We have many, many guests. Thank you for being here. We have some guests from Paragould, Arkansas. We have some guests from Columbia, Tennessee. And we have guests from other places as well. We are certainly blessed to have you here with us. And we hope that you have been encouraged thus far by our Bible study, that you have been encouraged by our worship to our Lord. We serve a mighty God. And we hope that this morning that every individual here has praised Him and has glorified Him with their voice and with their mind to the best of our abilities so that He will be glorified in what we are doing this morning. Just thank you so much for being here and hope that we'll all be blessed by our study this morning as we consider God's senior soldiers. As we begin, I want us to consider this first thing, something that we need to be reminded of concerning God's senior soldiers, and it is this, that God's senior soldiers, they have not been given a retirement plan by God, catch this, in this life. That in this life, God's senior soldiers, God has not been putting away money, putting away equity in some retirement account for them to cash in here in this life. That's just not the case. And it's sad that some older Christians have the mindset that once they get to a certain age, you determine that age. I'm not going to do that. 36. Whatever that age might be, they think that once they get to that age that they don't really have anything to offer the church anymore. That there really isn't much that they can offer, not to the church, but to the Christians. They don't have much to offer to God. It might be the fact that they have become discouraged because maybe their abilities have diminished to a certain extent. So they cannot perform, maybe serve like they used to, so they become discouraged. But other people might see this as their Christian retirement. You know, once I get to a certain age, that I don't really need to be willing to serve anymore. I don't need to be doing a lot of the things I used to do. It's not the fact that my abilities have diminished, but I've put in my time, so now it's time to let other people do the work. Some people get that mindset. Or some people even think that, you know what, now it's just time to relax. Like I said, I've put in my time. I've done my work. I've taught my classes. Maybe I've preached my sermons. I've led enough songs. I've led enough prayers. And so now it's time for me to just sit back and chillax and not do anything. But can I suggest to you this morning that those ideas, those thoughts could not be any farther from the truth? I really just don't think they could be any more untrue. Because the truth of the matter is that our rest, the rest for the Christian, ladies and gentlemen, it is not in this life. The rest for the Christian is not in this life, but our true rest is found in the next life. Will you consider with me, please, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, talking about God's senior soldiers, and how sometimes we think that once we get saved, we can just step back and not serve the Lord, not fight for the Lord, not run the race any longer, because it's time for us to take a rest. Let me tell you, what we read from Hebrews chapter 4 does not give us that type of thought at all. Read with me, please. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. And a little background on Hebrews, we went through Hebrews a couple of months ago, talking about one of the themes throughout Hebrews is the fact that Christians need to continue on fighting. The fact that we don't need to become complacent, that we don't need to get to a place where we think we can just take it easy at all, because at that point we can really start to struggle and our faith begins to diminish. The Hebrew writer, he really encourages the Christians here to keep their faith strong, to keep stoking the fire, to keep burning hot for the Lord. Notice this here in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, we really see the Hebrew writer hitting on that here. Notice this, Hebrews 4 and verse 1, Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering, notice this, His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. Notice, we hope to enter His rest, but you need to be careful to make sure that you do not come short of the rest. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed entered that rest, just as He has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter into it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. He again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David after a long time, just as has been said before, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Let me read that again. For there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, notice this. We've just read these 10 verses. Because we read these, this is the conclusion we come to now, verse 11. Therefore, let us be diligent. Let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. There is a rest for us as Christians, and I believe that He is speaking here of that rest, the next life. That once we reach that rest, there's no longer a need for the good works of the Christian. There's no longer for us to do those Christian things because we've made it. We have made it to that rest. He's saying, don't fall short of the rest because of disobedience. Don't fall short of the rest because of discouragement. Senior soldiers, don't fall short of the rest that is waiting for all of us because you're discouraged. Don't fall short of the senior rest because you think that it's time to retire. Your retirement is not on earth. Your retirement is in heaven. That means that we are not afforded a time to stop working. We are not afforded a time to stop fighting for the Lord in this life. In this life, we must continue to do the work for our God that He has asked for us to do so that we can strengthen the kingdom and so that others can be blessed by what we do for God. And after all that is said and done, whenever our time in this life is over, at that point, we can take that rest with our Father who is in heaven. Senior soldiers, your retirement isn't here. For those of us who might be younger, our retirement isn't here. Our retirement is in heaven. Let's keep working while we are on this side of eternity. But then secondly, we recognize that senior soldiers have always been used to do great things for God. They don't have retirement here. Their retirement isn't in this life. And while they're in this life, God uses senior soldiers to do great things, to do wonderful, amazing things for His name. Can I give you three examples of three senior soldiers who just did? They just did work. I don't know how else to explain, but they did work for the Lord. Number one, the first one I want to give you is Noah. Noah was used by God to save the righteous and to replenish the earth. Notice in Genesis chapter 5 is where we're going to be looking here. Genesis chapter 5. We pick up here learning a little bit about Noah. One of the first just crazy things that we come to know about Noah is the fact that he, at 500 years old. Now, I recognize that the ages back then, not like the ages now. I don't know exactly how they aged. If it like 400 was kind of like our 45 or 40. I don't know exactly. But all I do know is that at 500 years of age, Noah had three sons. You know, I kind of wonder, it's like, man, I might need to start having some kids soon. That way, you know, when they get older, I can still do things with them, play ball with them, play basketball, run around with them and stuff, you know, wrestle and not throw out a hip. Could you imagine that for Noah? 500 years old, he has three sons. It's pretty incredible for a man of that many years. But then it is that just 100 years later, about the age of 600, around 500-ish, we can come to think, around 500-ish, God comes in with a plan to construct the ark, gives him the reasons why. And then after about 100 years more, around 600, the ark is concluded. We see that in chapter 6, in verse 22. We see where Noah did everything that God commanded him to do. And we're speculating around 500, we'll say, is whenever this is happening here. And then it is at 600, we see in chapter 7, in verse 6, now Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the water came upon the earth. So 500, he's having kids. 500-ish, he's building a huge ark. And 600, he is now beginning the process of getting everybody on the ark and getting through that ordeal. But notice that, after all these things, in chapter 9, in verse 29, after all these things that God put Noah through, that Noah went through for the Lord, that after he has these kids at 500, after he builds this ark, after he goes through the flood, after he goes about restoring society, that it is at 950 years old, Noah died. 950. Again, I don't know if that's like 95 our age or not, but that's pretty old. But think about the majority of things that we see Noah doing here happened between 500 and 950. Don't necessarily think he's a spring chicken at that point, but he did great, great work for the Lord at a pretty advanced age, we might say. But not only Noah, but Abraham as well. He began to do great things for the Lord, not at an early age, but again, at a later age. And this is after the ages of man began to dwindle. No, people were no longer living into the 500s and 600s, 700s. People's ages began to shorten here whenever we start talking about Abraham. But in Genesis chapter 12, and it is at age 75 that God comes to Abraham and He asks him to do some pretty drastic things. At 75, He asks him to pack up his entire life and to move to a place that he had never been before. Look with me here, Genesis chapter 12, beginning of verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. We're looking at 75, remember, right? Around 75, He's asking him to do these things. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went forth as the Lord has spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abraham was 75 years old. 75 years old whenever he departed from Haran. Noah should have been climbing Mount Everest, right? If he's like Mr. Meira. But instead he's packing up his life and he's going to a brand new place that he had not been before. But then it was, we know the story well, that Abraham was blessed at the age of 100 to father a child. Noah said, well, that's child's play. I did it at 500. But at 100, Abraham has his child, has Isaac. Here we see that in Genesis chapter 17 and 18 and 21 tell us the story there of what goes on. And then even beyond that, around the age of 120, Abraham displayed tremendous faith in the face of what we would consider to be nearly impossible odds whenever it comes to a situation of faith where he's willing to offer up his son Isaac. He did that at 120 years old. And after all these things, after the great work that Abraham did for the Lord, again, he started about 75, and then we see his life in there at 175. So the final 100 years of his life, from 75 to 175, Abraham did great things for the Lord. Scripture said that he was satisfied with life. Yeah, if you did that many amazing acts of faith, I'm pretty sure I would be satisfied with life as well. So Noah did great things for about 450 years. Abraham did great things for the last 100 years of his life. And then what about Moses? I think Moses is another great example of one of God's great senior soldiers, because God used Moses to free His people and to lead them to the promised land. We remember that whenever Moses was younger, he tried to do some good things. We know the stories of him trying to help his people from hurting each other after he had already saved one of those lives from an Egyptian. And nothing good came from it, right? So in the younger years, there wasn't much that he really did. But it wasn't until about the age of 80 that God called for him to do great things. And around 80, his life is mostly done, right? He's already lived a good long life. But then God calls him at 80 to be the one to deliver His people from captivity. And remember the story, remember the account we have that Moses he has a lot of excuses. And think about it, we might not think about the fact that Moses was 80 at this point. That in itself might be kind of an excuse for me to go and to free a people and to lead them on this great journey. That might be a reason, an excuse that he might give. But then there was also the fact, what we just talked about, that he had tried to help these people before. He had tried to help his people and they rejected him. He had also been gone from Egypt for like 40 years. Many things might have changed. He didn't know if he could really do them any good. And then we know he was insecure with his own abilities. He said, "I'm not a good speaker. I'm just not a good speaker. That's not my talent." But even with these, what could be legitimate excuses, legitimate reasons for him not to lead God's people at the age of 80, Moses went on that great work, went on to do that great work for God, leading God's people out of Egypt, leading them to the promised land. He certainly was a very useful soldier in the great army of God. So for those senior soldiers that are here, for those who might be looking to those years thinking, you know, what can I do then? Let me tell you, we have many great biblical examples of many senior soldiers who did do great things. They did tremendous things for the Lord. And what that means then, what that leads us to our third and final point, is that senior soldiers have great worth. They have great worth within the church, but not only do they have great worth, but I'll suggest they also have great responsibility. Senior soldiers have great responsibility within the church. You might not have recognized it before we started looking at some of these other senior soldiers, but they really do have great worth in God's eyes. Job 12 and verse 12 says, "Wisdom is with the aged men, with long life is understanding." Job 12 and verse 12. Senior soldiers have seen and they have learned many things over the years that those of us that are younger, that we could really use. But we just don't know those things yet because we don't have the experience that our senior comrades do have. They have seen changes in society, changes in the church, and changes in other areas that have taught them many things. They have seen issues within the church and issues among brethren, both good and bad, that have taught them many things. They have much wisdom that can greatly help us today. They might not recognize, sometimes senior soldiers themselves don't recognize it, but the wisdom that they have, the experience that they have, it can be so vital to the health and the strength of the local church. We know this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul encouraging the brethren in Corinth, encouraging them not to lose heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart." Why don't we lose heart, Paul? We're getting older. Our bodies are breaking down. Why should we not lose heart? He says this is why. "Because even though your outer man is decaying," he says, the inner man is being renewed day by day. You're getting closer to that rest. That eternal rest. Don't lose hope. Senior soldiers, you're getting closer to that rest. And yes, your bodies might be breaking down. Your minds might even be failing you to some extent. But you still have great, great worth within God's kingdom and within the local church specifically. So what this leads us to then is the fact that senior soldiers have the great responsibility to continue to teach and to lead the church. Even maybe into their advanced years, as long as they are physically and mentally able to do so. Paul really speaks about the responsibilities of the senior soldiers in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, he speaks to them specifically, giving them specific instructions of how they can help others, how they can help the church. Titus chapter 2 in verse 1. Titus 2 and verse 1. "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." Who does he speak to first? To the older men. He says, to the older men, you are to be temperate and dignified and sensible. You are to be sound in faith, in love, and in perseverance. And then you older women, you older women, your senior soldiers, you likewise are to be reverent in your behavior. Not malicious gossips. Nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage. Notice this, you do these things so that you can teach, so you can encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husband, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. It kind of goes back to the older men. You older women soldiers, you need to teach the younger. And you know what? You senior soldiers, you men, you need to teach the young men to be just as you are, to also be sensible, to be a good example with your deeds, to be pure in doctrine, to be dignified. You teach them to do all those things. You have been working hard to get to the point where you have these types of characteristics, where you have these type of Christ-like qualities. You've been working hard to get there. You know what your responsibility is now? Not to just stay there, but to also take this younger generation. You bring them up there with you. You bring them up there with you. You teach them to have those same type of qualities. Another part of the senior soldier's responsibilities can certainly include leadership, whether that be as a shepherd of the Lord's local church, dealing with spiritual matters, whether it be as a deacon, dealing with much of the business of the church, whether it be as evangelists, whether it be as teachers. There's great responsibility that senior soldiers have. And as we think about the characteristics of shepherds of churches, how many of those characteristics come with experience? How many of those characteristics come with a little bit of age? How many of those characteristics come after being through some things? I would suggest that many of them do. I mean, one of the characteristics, they're not to be a novice. They're not to be a newbie. They need to learn some things, gain some wisdom, gain some experience. Why? Because then they can share that wisdom. Then they can share that experience. They've been living the life as a godly husband. They've been living the life as a godly father. They've been living a life that shows Christian characteristics. So many of those characteristics can be found within many of our senior soldiers. We should encourage them. Encourage them to not slip back, but to excel forward. And to take on these responsibilities and to use the blessings that God has given them to strengthen the church. Our God desires for His senior soldiers to be busy about the work of strengthening the church, whether that be through leadership, whether that just be through teaching, whether that be through the giving of their sense of wisdom, whatever it might be, they are to be busy about that work. And in doing that work, they glorify God in what they are doing. And that is our goal. Our goal is to glorify God in this life, in all that we do. Age, certainly, to many, can be just a number and should just be a number in our minds. Sadly, many Christians, older Christians, have fallen prey to the mindset that they are useless now, that they can do no good. This just shouldn't be the case. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you to encourage our senior soldier comrades, to encourage our older brethren, to encourage our older brothers and sisters to take on the responsibilities that they have as that wise generation. Let us build them up. Let us encourage them so that they might in turn encourage us and build us up. We have many senior soldiers here this morning. And we have many here as well who, again, hope to get to that point someday. I hope that we will remember that God expects us to continue to run. He expects us to continue to fight. He expects us to continue to work for the kingdom. May God help them, our senior soldiers. May God help us always to grow into the place that we should be. So that whether we are a senior soldier, whether we might be a younger soldier, that we might glorify God, that we might take on our responsibilities and do for the Lord what He would have us to do in all things. May God be pleased with our service and may God be glorified in the way that we run this race and that we fight this battle.